Have you ever received directions to somewhere and wished you'd never received the directions? They led you here, there and everywhere, and you ended up no better off than when you started. Those who drive will understand this. I don't drive, but I've been in the car when this happens, and you don't know where you're going, and you ask a local somewhere how to get somewhere, and they actually don't know themselves. And you wish you'd never asked them, because they say, well, hang on a minute, well, you turn here, and then you turn there, and you turn there, and then they turn to their friends, and say, is it here, or is it there? And by the time you've listened to them, you're dizzy with all these instructions, and you go round and round in circles. In these days of satellite navigation, I would dare say it's even worse. You've got an electronic voice arguing with you as you don't take the turning that they told you to take, and then they tell you a turning to turn, which actually you can't turn down. And then they're getting this electronic voice you're arguing with, and they seem to be arguing with you. I told you to turn right, I told you to turn left, and you go on and on and on, and then you lose connection with the satellite. Those of you who've travelled to anywhere that's been organised by dear brother John will know that his maps can be challenging as well, so I'm told. A few years ago, we all went on a church weekend to a place in Shropshire called Clearbury Mortimer, and everyone had the same experience when we travelled late on the Friday evening, and there was this turning. We all had to look for this fork in the road, and everyone, one after another, had this story about how they went. The wrong way. But you know, directions are important. Directions are very important. Imagine if a signpost is pointing in completely the wrong direction. Imagine that. What good is a signpost if it points in the wrong direction? For so many years, before someone took it down, which they shouldn't have done, but there used to be a signpost on Abbey Road just round the corner there. And it was a sign that we'd paid to have put up, which directed people from the high street to show where the turning is for the church. And so it's a big sign, says Merton Evangelical Church. But over the years it loosened more and more, and on a windy day it would turn around and it would point into the public bar of the Nelson Arms pub on the corner. You see, signposts are important, but they must point in the right direction. They must point in the right direction. We live in a day in the church world where people are pointed left, right and centre, confused, and have no idea where the church stands, what the church is pointing to, what the church is preaching. Turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel and chapter 1 as we continue to look at these glorious words proclaimed by Zacharias after the conception of and birth of his son John, who would be called John the Baptist. Remember, Zacharias the priest had these wondrous truths revealed to him, that his wife Elizabeth, whose womb was barren, impossible for her to have any children, elderly in age, was to conceive of him a child. not unlike Abraham with Sarah, his wife. And that because he doubted, because he did not believe at first, he was struck dumb. And then after the birth of the son, and he said his name should be called John, his tongue was loosened, we're told, as indeed the tongues of all God's people should be loosened to show forth the praises of our Saviour. And he made this great declaration. It says he prophesied, but he didn't prophesy in the sense of a prophecy like the prophets in the Old Testament, but he proclaimed what the prophets pointed to. He proclaimed what was being fulfilled now. Because indeed the news of the Saviour's impending birth by Mary was given unto Elizabeth and John. And we're told that this babe John, the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth, when the news came, this babe leapt in the womb of Elizabeth. And so we come to verse 76 this morning in this great declaration of faith by Zacharias. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. The title of the message today is this: Called to point to Christ the Lord alone. That is the business of the Church of Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. The Church of Christ in this world is not called to be a social work. The Church of Christ is not called, and most certainly should not be, involved in politics. The Church of Christ is not called to engage in worldly activities, to join with the world, to join with other religions, as is the want today. Whenever there's some kind of a disaster or an attack or some kind, they talk about those coming together of this religion, that religion, and those of no faith. The Church of Christ is a set apart people, and we're called with this one sole purpose: to point to him, to point to Christ. That's our business. Christ gave no other business unto his people before he was taken up, before he left this earth and then was seated on high at the right hand of the majesty on high. He indeed gave this command: go into all the world and preach the gospel unto all creation. Go and make disciples of the nations. That's it. There is no other mandate for the Church of Christ but to proclaim Christ, teaching them all that I have taught you. And so we see here in these words here, recorded for us: and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. To prepare his ways. To go before as a forerunner. All that the church does, all that the preaching of the word does particularly, is pointing to Christ, preparing the way of Christ, but the preaching of the word, the work of the church, has no business in the saving of a soul. The preaching of the word does not save a soul. But it is the Spirit of God coming by the preaching of the word, revealing Christ in the sinner, that saves such a one. But there is an important role given to the Church of Christ to indeed go before those who will be those who are to be the inheritors of eternal life in Christ Jesus, to reveal Christ. So firstly, we see here the one important thing, if we remember nothing else, the one important thing is to preach Christ. To preach Christ. The Apostle Paul, who had such great theological learning, who revealed in the scriptures all the gospel truths, the theological doctrinal truths of the gospel, he said this one important thing was his role. Woe is me if I preach not Christ. I don't know if the poster is up outside at the front of the building, but we did have a poster up there a few months ago that says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ." We preach not ourselves, but Christ. The work of the church is not to speak of Christianity. The work of the church is not to preach of the church, to teach the teachings of the church. We were talking earlier on about how we're going to be having that presentation on Martin Luther. Well, he was standing against these things. The so-called church was teaching the teachings of the church rather than the teachings of Christ. Zacharias spoke particularly here to this young infant, his son John. He spoke of him. "You, child. Oh, what a privilege, what a role, what a purpose is given to you. What a calling is given to you, child." This was what he was born to. That's what he's saying. God's already ordained this from eternity. God's revealed this in the prophets. We read in Isaiah 40 of this child. He's come indeed to prepare the way of the Lord. This was what he was born to. And you know what? Every one of God's people are born into this world unto a purpose. He says, "For you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." John had a special role. He was, as it were, the last prophet. He was promised by the Lord that he must come. He must come first. He must come and do this. Christ taught this as well, that John must come. But this child would grow into a man, and he would know, and he would proclaim that he was not the Christ. As John says, he was not the Christ, but he came to point the way to Christ. He came, a man called John came, but he came to direct to Christ, to point to Christ. But he was not the Christ. He came to indeed say, look not on me, but look at him. This man, John, would later on say of Christ, I must decrease. Don't look to me. I must decrease, and he must increase in me. Yes, he was promised. The prophet Malachi proclaimed of this John who must come as well. He was the voice crying in the wilderness. And you know, in these days, it strikes me that we are a voice crying in the wilderness. We are a voice crying in the wilderness. In the wilderness of, let alone of this sinful world, but in the wilderness of this sinful religious world. In the wilderness, not just of this sinful religious world, but in the wilderness of this disobedient, straying, and indeed turning away, the scripture says, apostate Christian world. We're a voice crying in the wilderness. There are indeed very few, it would seem, who are standing for the gospel of God's grace in these days. There are very few who are pointing to this Christ. They point to many, all manner of Christs, but not this Christ. Think on this, child of God. You who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who is a child of God this morning. Everyone who knows yourself to be a member of the kingdom of God, believing on the Son of God, cleansed in his blood, inheritors of eternal life. Think on this. Think of this amazing thought. Even from your natural birth, before he even gave you new life, new birth, to be born again of his Spirit, God separated you. God separated you to do a work for him. Have you ever thought about that? To do a work for him. Yes, we read in Ephesians 2, it is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. That we should indeed, as God, be the one who has recreated us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he afore prepared that we should walk in them. See, he afore prepared that we should walk in them. And so we were separated from eternity, but separated also from our mother's womb, that we should serve God, even though we knew it not. These works were given unto us. Our calling to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It came before we were converted. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 1, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach among the heathen. Long before he was even conceived, even. That is the calling of God's church, and particularly of the man raised up to preach his word. We've been praying rightly for the church at Dudley, that God would, unashamedly, we pray that God would raise up the man of his choice. Not the choice of the church, the choice of God. God will make it known to spiritual men in the church. But first and foremost, it's the choice of God. Because if it was the choice of us, we would choose the one who would set us at ease and make us feel good and tell us the things we want to hear. The man raised up to preach his word, the way of the Lord. The way of grace being laid up before sinners. That was what Zacharias was saying this child was sent to do. He was sent to point, to direct to Christ alone. Secondly, see how God raises up the humble. He raises up the humble, relatively obscure ones, to serve him in the gospel work. If there's ever a statement that really riles when you talk of a faithful man of God to someone, you know what the evangelical world is like. You who know God have an experience of this. People love to name drop, don't they? They love to name drop. If they're not name dropping a particular church, they're name dropping a particular man. And then when you name someone, well, you know, you're talking someone who's faithful. And you just, almost without even thinking, even without, it's just a reflex action. They immediately say, never heard of him. So many times I've heard that. Never heard of them. I don't care if you've never heard of them. If it's a faithful man of God, they're God's man. God heard of them. God knew them before he even called them. God's choice is not always and relatively rarely the favoured choice of man. He calls the messengers the men of his choice. You shall be called. Zacharias says to the child, you shall be called. Not just called, you shall be called. You are called. Not of man, but of God. Not called foremostly by men, but rather called of God. How many so-called, and I deliberately use this term, how many so-called named men are not God's messengers? Not God's messengers. It came to my attention some months ago, but I just noticed it again when scanning through and flicking through the channels, as you do, you know, because there's nothing on the TV, is there? The most profitable thing you do is actually scan to kill the time, because actually there's never anything to watch. And then you see there's the new Freeview God slot, isn't there, which is full of. Well, you know what it's full of. Just utter waste of time. But those of you who remember in the late 80s of a man who was found guilty, a man who was one of these charlatans on the satellite channels in America, who it came to light that not only was he fleecing people of money, but they did that of their own accord, these people. But he was also found to be an adulterer and with a member of his congregation. And he was shamed in this situation. You've probably heard of this man. I don't need to mention it. But now he's back on the TV. How foolish people are. They're almost bewitched by these people. They see these people are false, and yet they continue. I'll let you work out his name. His initials are JS. But why? Why? Because man, you see, looks at man. Man looks at that which is impressive in man. Not so God. Not so God. Many religious folk there were around when God called John. Oh, there were many suitors. There were many people who perhaps the Jewish religion would say, well, surely God's going to raise this man up. God's going to raise this man up to be the man preparing the way of the Lord. Many men who were of the Jewish religion, who were of the priestly line, God's going to raise up from this line, isn't he? Well, he did, but not as they thought. Not as they thought. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. Perhaps one of the greatest statements to put man in his place about how so often we are proud and boastful of ourselves. What we did. Who we are. Now in the 15th year of the reign of... Now note this. Deliberately, God the Holy Spirit by Dr. Luke names all these great important people. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God bypassed all these. The word of God bypassed all who thought themselves important. The word of God came to an obscure man. The word of God came to John, son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Here it shows what the Almighty thought of all these others. For all their great learning, for all their great pomp and show. And so too today, there be those who claim to be sent from God. Oh, many claim to be sent from God. But they are not his preachers. They may be fine preachers even, but not preachers sent from God. Some of the greatest exponents of various subjects, some of the greatest public proclaimers of all manner of things in this world have not been sent by God. It can be indeed stated without a shadow of doubt. We've been remembering conflicts. Well, some of these great dictators in history have been some of the greatest orators in history. Greatest. Adolf Hitler was a great orator. Some of the greatest politicians in this world have been great orators. Some of the greatest union leaders have been great orators. But that doesn't make them sent by God. And there are men who are found in the churches today who are indeed very impressive. But they're not his men. They show themselves so by not preaching Christ. By not preaching the all-sufficiency of Christ. By not preaching Christ alone. By not preaching the cross of Christ alone. By not preaching faith on Christ alone. There is always something else. There is always something else that needs to be added. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 4, in these familiar words, that this is what we're to look out for, you see. for those who are not sent by God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Of course, so many people misinterpret that and think, well, many people will proclaim that they believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh. True. The demons in hell profess that as well. Do you not know that? They believe also. It's not just to say that Christ Jesus has come. It's not just to say that there was a man called Christ. It's not even just to say that we believe Christ died on the cross and rose again. To say that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is to proclaim that the one that indeed Zechariah says in our passage, spoken by the mouth of the prophets, has come, is come fully and performed fully all that this Christ was told of beforehand should perform. He has fulfilled all he came to do. That's to say Christ is come in the flesh. But you see, there are some who do not proclaim Christ. They do not proclaim that Christ is all sufficient. They proclaim that indeed you must do also. On top of believing on Christ, you must perform this, you must perform that. That's not to preach Christ. Thirdly, see how salvation comes to certain ones. See even here the teaching of the gospel, that indeed God has a people that he has chosen from eternity past. He comes to certain ones while others are passed over. Passed over. The scriptures use the term reprobate, rejected of God. And so you who know the Saviour were not called by grace because of anything outwardly impressive found in you. On the contrary. The complete opposite. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And particularly speaking about how our fellow man sees us. The church in general is made up, in general, not totally, but in general is made up of fairly unimpressive characters. Fairly obscure characters as far as the world in general sees them. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. Not any. There were some, but not many. Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. God did call some that were noble. God has called some from the nobles, even from royal families. Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are. Are what? Mighty. In the world's eyes only, though. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why is this? Why is this? That no flesh should glory in his presence. The Lord Jesus made it abundantly clear to his disciples that such mysteries of the kingdom, such mysteries of God, such truth, such grace unto salvation was kept from others. The same mystery that was opened up to them was kept hid from others. Salvation never came. The calling of God to reveal Christ, the Saviour, to anyone never came. Never ever came, and never does, as a result of what you do. Never. Never did. There's not a single one in the kingdom of God who's greater than any other. There was a man called Paul who considers himself great in this only. He considered himself a greater sinner, the chief of sinners. But indeed, unless we consider ourselves the chief of sinners, we will never see the glory of Christ. For it is all of grace and mercy. See Titus 3, verses 4 to 7. The apostle has been telling Titus how we indeed were, even as everyone else, disobedient, and all these negatives, all these terrible things we were in our sinful disobedience to God by nature. And indeed we continue to be by nature. But of course, when God came and gave us new life in Christ, giving us a new nature, so revealing Christ. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy, he saved us. He reached out and rescued. Through the washing of regeneration, through being born again, made alive in Christ, being dead in trespasses and sins, raised again in Christ, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that having been justified by his grace, declared not guilty in God's sight, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. If God reveal his Son, the Lord Jesus, in you by faith right now, it is only this. It is because he has chosen you. He has chosen you according to his abundant grace and mercy from eternity. God, by his grace, may even now, in his kindness, make his Son real to you, reveal him to you. He may appear. This kindness may appear to you right now. This is what I've been sent to do today. Even, not that I make myself as John the Baptist, but this is the role of every preacher of the Word of God. To make the way of the Lord straight. To prepare the way of the Lord. To point you to Christ. And if I go round the houses, if I go all over the place, as though you're left so confused as to where Christ is, I have failed. Behold Christ. Behold the one who was crucified, who bore the wrath of God, who indeed has redeemed a people unto himself. He has paid the price for chosen sinners. And he is indeed risen again. Fourthly, what a responsibility then is placed upon God's true church, and especially the preacher of the gospel. For behold, who has placed his people in this world as a light and a witness? What does Zacharias say? You shall be called a prophet of the highest. The highest. The highest. The Almighty God. There is no higher. You who are his ambassadors. You who belong to Christ are ambassadors for Christ in this world. Each one. That you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A signpost. The apostle says we are epistles written on our hearts. We are living testimonies of what God has done. Behold what God's done. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's your purpose in living in this world now. Everything else has to work around that. Everything. It's a challenge, isn't it? Everything must live and work around that. In this world, he's placed us for a season to indeed point to our blessed Redeemer. Who has called you, believer? Who has called you to salvation? Who is it? I think we lose sight of this. And that's why we take our eyes off of it. Who has called you unto salvation? None other than the highest, the Almighty One. The High and Lofty One, the God of all the earth. You who have eternal life in Christ Jesus, it is this, to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. You, child of God, he has made you to be objects, demonstrations. Evidences of what? Surely it is this, of his grace, of his mercy, and so living in this world, living for Christ, God working in us both to will and to do all his good pleasure. For we cannot do it ourselves. We're pointing to Christ the Lord. We're pointing to Christ the Lord. The sole purpose of all believers and all preaching by God's servants raised up to do his work is to prepare the way of the Lord. Point to, declare accurately, but not just accurately, passionately. To declare in clarity, in truth, leaving in no doubt where the way is. To preach Christ alone. To preach Christ alone. And whatever subject shall we preach on next week? Christ alone. What subject do we look at? Do we else do believers need to hear? Christ alone. Christ and Him crucified. John the Baptist. John the Baptist would direct the people to Christ, saying this. Oh, John the Baptist could have formed a denomination of his own quite easily. John the Baptist could have had a comfortable living. John the Baptist could have indeed had a group of satellite churches of his own, the churches of John the Baptist. For this man had many people following him. But when he saw him passing by, God revealing to him that he was the one, he turned those following him away from himself and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He's the one, you see. He's the one I told you about. The one who must come, the one who will come after me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to unloose, whose winnowing fan is in his hand. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God now. Behold Christ. Behold Christ. That's what you came here for today. To behold Christ. That is my purpose today. I point you to Christ. I point, believer, I point you to Christ again today. If God, by His grace, enable you to hear, you who know not Christ, behold Him now, believe on Him now.